You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray, and I'm Monique Leray. How are you? Happy holidays, happy Turkey Day, Friendsgiving, Anti-Poultry Day, Native American Support Day, whatever you guys do, happy that. And it's really good to see you guys. I am back. I am here. I'm home. I'm just getting it together to go back on the road again. And, you know, it's a good show to be home and just check in with everyone. So we have a couple people lined up, but because it's a holiday, I know people get, you know, it gets messed up. But let's see if we've got someone in the wings. Okay, great. Oh, we've got our girl Tahira. See, I know some people will show up because they are about their business. Tahira, Renee, Christy, how are you?
Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I have a studio in my home, and sometimes I can't hear unless I've got the earphones all the way on, but I wanted to make sure I was right here with you.
Oh, hello, hello. Well, let me get, you know what? Hold on, let me just get the Bluetooth going here. Let's get back here and be professional. Why don't we?
There we go.
Thank you for adjusting. Tahira was going to be in studio with us at LA Talk Radio, but, you know, LA Talk is smart enough to transition with the times. And so we're kind of all mobile now. We're all on location, which Tahira, tell everyone who you are. Let's just do a formal intro in case they don't know.
Awesome. Well, my name is Tahira Renee Christie. I am CEO, founder, and creative director of Love Amour Prop, which is French for self-love. And I, she's a one-woman show.
Me and I, yes.
Girl, like Beyonce, me, myself, and I. I make, manufacture, and sell wellness and beauty products. And it's been an amazing journey. My company started in 2020 in March, in the middle of the pandemic. Blew up my first full month in business by selling hand sanitizer, made $20,000, and the rest is history. I've just been able to did a download of my CSV file of my products. I have over 188 products on my website right now that are all handmade and blended and to perfection for you and your family. And it's been an amazing journey.
Wow. You know, and you're one of those lightning rods in life, right? Like you meet someone and you're like, okay, they get it and I get them and they get me and it's fine. And, you know, on top of you being someone that gets it, it sounds like you are someone that puts nothing but quality into your brand. I don't feel like I have to like inspire you to get after it. You're the type of person that just goes for it. And you mentioned you had 180 plus brands that you just took inventory on. Some people would say scale that down and master a few, but I feel like you're one of those people that could actually master a lot. You are the Cheesecake Factory menu.
Exactly. You are. That is a great way to describe it. And we're getting there. You know, the hard part about being a small business, I'm in between, right? I'm in between this space where I've got to make enough things and have enough new items in order to keep up with the seasons. Because beauty products are really seasonal, depending on what it is, what type of product it is, especially home goods, things like that, candles, things like that. And also making sure that I scale down to be able to mass manufacture. So I'm not to that point yet. 2022 is going to be an exciting year for me. I've already put on my vision board to have a staple first open shop here in Orange County that I can have a place to be able to call my own and then go from there. Some people would say, oh, you're online, stay online. Online is amazing. Yes, online is awesome. But as I've been doing pop-up shops and crafters fairs and farmers markets, I really enjoy being in front of people and telling my story, and people like hearing that. And I create customers for life as a result of that. So that interaction is amazing. I didn't start off like Jessica Alba with millions of dollars to be able to create the Honest Company and just have 100 different types of products available in multiple stores. I started off with an unemployment check. You know, I really just am using my brain and my creativity to kind of go. And so I'm adjusting as things are needed. And so that scale down will eventually happen to my top selling items, but I'm in year two. I'm still figuring out what that is and what that looks right. like. So it's been an amazing journey, and I've learned so much as an entrepreneur. I've had the beauty of being able to connect with other entrepreneurs who are kind of in the same boat or have been there or are doing the same thing that I'm doing or haven't, that like can't even fathom me getting as far along as I have. So I tell people all the time, I'm in uncharted territory. I'm like, God carry me, because I didn't expect to get this far. I just really wanted to put some smudge sprays and rose water up on Etsy and see what happened. And now it's like this full-fledged business. So I see the multi-million dollar opportunity. I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm working on molding that and getting I'm humble enough to learn from the people who are doing it to see what I need to do to adjust to get there.
You know, you hit on a few things that I find really interesting. And yes, we're all kind of just grabbing it and going. And on the startup, we really love a success story. And I view it, you as a success story, because like you mentioned, you're not Dark Angel. Shout out to Dark Angel. Shout out to Jessica Alba. Shout out to The Honest Company. And who else do we shout out? All right. But you are taking that unemployment check and you're spending it. And by the way, we the people pay into that unemployment check, so it's not free money. Contrary to popular belief somehow, people don't know how it works. So by all means, on the startup, we support you getting the money that you paid into at a time like this. And not just buying groceries, you flipped it into a business, which takes a lot of courage, which takes a lot of pizzazz and panache. And grit is the word. I find that most entrepreneurs that I run into that are successful or just make it through hard times or launch through hard times, which you said you did, have grit. And that's the mold and makeup of like, nah, I'm not going to stop. And actually, I'm going to do more and I'm going to figure it out. So you're casting a wide net with your products to see what works. And it sounds like seasonally, you know, because there are, you know, Christmas now, Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, you've got the pine scents, you've got the, you know, cranberries. And I don't know. I'm not an apricot. Apothecary.
That's what it is.
I don't know how to say it. But I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Will you be doing these? Because I just ordered them and I just got them in the mail and I would love to order them from you rather than some random person on Amazon. God rest. I love the gold patches under my eye. They feel like self-care, even if they're not doing anything. I like to put them on the plane and then go to sleep. I like to wear them. I just like to wear them. They make me feel like I'm doing something for myself.
Right, right.
Lie to me.
Yeah, right. I don't even know what those are made from. I would have to research that whole thing and see what that is. Because I've heard about them.
Yeah, they're gold. They're not made in this country. So maybe we could do something that's local to support. I mean, everything is, you know.
Right, right.
So let's dive in. You have the whole segment. We had someone else lined up, but I think because of the holidays, sometimes, you know, things get cut off. Tell everybody exactly who you are. You have a really, really beautiful story. And I think the reason why it's beautiful, it didn't start off beautiful, right? It started off pretty effed up. But you're open about it. This woman has been on Rocket Lawyers commercials. I just saw something for somebody's network. I don't know if I can say it out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you posted it, so I feel like we can say it. She's doing stuff on the OWN network, which I just saw. I didn't get a download on that because we've both been running. Why don't you tell people where you came from and then how you got here? And tell them who you are.
Yeah. And thank you for that. I'm very open because I feel like when you heal a woman, you heal an entire community. So whatever I can do to inspire someone with my story, I'm all ears and I'm all vocal about it. But I was born and raised in Oakland, California, and in the 80s, and I've always had this body, oddy, oddy, praise God. And I think as a result of just being a young kid, being kind of careless, being very free, you know, I'm Gemini, so I'm always just like, I experienced a lot of trial in my life, just from the innocence of my curiosity, and not knowing how cruel the world can really be. And so I've got three books that I've published. My first book is How to Deal with Your Baby Daddy, A Woman's Guide to Effective Co-Parenting and Preservation of Self. And in this book, I describe my journey of healing. really from how I had three kids with a man who didn't love me. And I had to start at the beginning. So I was like, what went on in my life that would make me, that led me to this man, to this situation that I kept going down this rabbit hole with. And one of the first lines of my book is I was molested from the time that I was three until I just started having sex when I was 13. And I know that's deep, that's heavy. It's like, whoa, okay, well, how did that happen? And where did that come from? And why weren't you protected? And I answered all those questions in that book. And the book starts like that. People are like, whoa, you just hit us with a sledgehammer. I'm like, well, welcome to my life. It's set up the way that I am. You talked about that grit earlier. Well, I had to grind myself through a lot of shit when I was little. And really didn't understand the value of me because I was valueless from a very small child. And so I had to create that. I had to cultivate that in the mean streets of Oakland, California. We lived in Sobrani Park, and anybody who knows anything about Oakland, that is, it's been and has always been and will always be gang activity, drug activity, you know, just a horrible neighborhood. It's like it being in the middle of Watts or whatever you would describe as just a, you know, a horrible part of town. And my mother put a lot of value in our education. So while I was in a Catholic schoolgirl uniform going through that part of town, at the end of that was an education that got me out of the ghetto, right? And so I feel like that, like I was just remembering a lot of my memories from my childhood. I just pushed it aside. I don't think about them. I'm forward thinking. I'm always like, what's next? What's next? But I was remembering a time where I was walking home. It was 1.3 miles for me to get from school to home. My dad didn't have a car, so I walked a lot to and from school. And I was remembering, I was walking home by myself. I was nine years old. I was in the fourth grade. 9 years old, walking home in my Catholic schoolgirl uniform, just walking, singing to myself probably. And this van, how scary is that? Stops. How scary was that? Opens up. Even more scary, I see four people, guns. They were Nerf guns or water guns, but guns. And they start spraying me and they're like, nigger! And just that anger toward me. I'm nine.
In Oakland.
In Oakland,
are we all
California.
Around in Oakland? Damn.
So it was such a defining moment for me because all I could do for the rest of that 1 mile walk home, because I was just starting, was think about why me? What did I do? Why did I deserve that? And then the other thoughts of, oh, well, you're a dirty girl. Well, all those things happened to you when you were a kid. Like you were meant to be basically shitted on. So if you go through your life thinking that about yourself, and your mind is your power, right? In your mind creates the person you are, what you decide to pursue or not based on who you think you are. If I had that mentality as a small child and everything that happened to me, not things that I was going out and just doing that happened to me, were all just like, you ain't shit. You're not meant to do anything more than just be someone's thing to come on, someone to piss on, someone to call names for, and you were ugly and flat and black. And that was just your persona. So I say all that to say, I fought my way through my childhood, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, but you're really talented. Like you're really smart too. Like I was remembering, I was doing times tables in kindergarten, bored as hell with these kids with this plus and minus bullshit. Like, let's go. Can we get to the next level? I had something in me, this fire, this spirit about me that was like, just keep going till you get spent. Just keep going. I promise you it's going to give. Just keep going. I remember being at altar calls at like 11, 12, 13. I'm like, how can an adult see a child at an altar crying their eyes out and not be like, hey, baby, what's going on? Why we got grown people over here crying because sister has slept with the husband's brothers, but you like 10. Why are you crying at the altar? Nobody cared to know. Yeah. So I'm that adult now that sees everything. I see that baby girl that looks a little off, that walks a little different, that has that swag about her that suggests that she's been through more than she probably should. And I pull those babies in and I help them. I go to homeless shelters and halfway houses and rehab centers. I'm not here to judge. Nobody's nothing. And I help these people because church is not a place. It's a thing that's within you. And the church within me suggests that I need to go through my life, making sure that if I can help somebody, I can't help everybody, but if I can help somebody feel better about themselves, that is why I went through everything I went through. I don't know why you went through what you went through, but I had to find the why. So hence a more probe has been created as a result of that. A more probe means self-love. I can't love my neighbor as myself if I don't love me. And I can't love me if I don't understand the tools and tips and advice that's necessary for me to learn how to love myself properly. If I don't understand the history behind why I went through what I went through and how I can flip that bad boy on its head and in turn support and help somebody else so that if they don't go through it or if they've gone through it, help support them through it or help them to prevent having to go through something so heinous. So it's a long, long drawn out way of explaining why this love thing I've got deep inside of me just exists. It's just something God placed in me. And the devil tried to bury stuff on top of so that I couldn't see the light coming out of it. But then that little light was just like, bam, here I am. And now I'm just, you know, I'm living my truth and it's beautiful.
Wow. And you know, you have the whole show. So that was just the intro, guys. We're going to get deeper with Ms. Tahara because, you know, your story, your startup story here is really going to help somebody. I know it. I just know it. And I like that you say, hey, someone can take from this, and that's why I'm going to be transparent about it. Because a lot of people keep these kind of things to themselves because some people would view it as hurtful, embarrassing, and I'm sure you do. But your greater good kind of pulls you to be able to share it. And I think that that's really courageous. And yes, it takes gumption and it takes grit to manifest something. You say, you know, you have this inner light, this little thing that says, no, but you're bomb. You know how to do this. I feel like that was I call it source, you know, your source power that was saying, we know what you are. So don't, it's not circumstantial. And so when you know that you're coming from a source that's infinite, you know, anything's possible. Yes, people will let you down and people are flawed, excuse me. But, you know, that doesn't define your whole thing, your whole journey. So I guess we learn that through time. I guess we learn that through effort and trial and error and experiences. We can go deeper in your story. I really want right now for people to find they can go on anything. Do you want to plug your handles real quick?
Absolutely. So my website actually is popping right now because we have a Cyber Monday sale going on starting now. So if you go to www.amourp.com, AMOURP.com, it tells my story. It's got a shop there. And we've got soaps that are 3 for $20, which is awesome. It's a great way to kind of get to know our brand. But you've got 187 additional products there that you can explore, something for you, something for a family. We have men's line, a women's line, intimate products, yoni products, candles, clothing, you name it, jewelry, even a whole line of amazing products that are handmade locally here in Orange County by me and full of love. So you could also check me out on social media at Love Amour Prop on all social media handles. I have a link tree as well, but it's all on my website, amourp.com.
So I had the pleasure of trying your whipped hand cream. Oh my God, I can't get over it. Like it is feels like this creamy goodness. And you know, when you're traveling and you're dehydrated and you're needing, you just need it. And this hand sanitizer situation makes me more dehydrated. So like a whipped cream kind of deal. Amazing. It was so soft and it just sat really great on my skin. Only a couple products I'm impressed with this last year. And it's yours and Hedo by Chrissy Buss and Lena Laced, the CBD product. Those three skincares really have gotten me through this ashy hand sanitizer travel year. So you guys, you have to, and listen, I almost feel like you have 180 plus products to say, something's in here for somebody. Like you something's can't, you can't say no to my product, right? I mean, you gave them so much. How dare you say no? Was that kind of behind this?
You know, what it was I feel like I have so many because I have so many problems. If it's not a problem I have or a problem one of my kids have or my husband has, I made all these things because we needed them. And like my daughter, she's always getting bitten by spiders. She's just so sweet. And so they're always just nipping away at her. So I made a cream for that. I made a spray for it. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I can manufacture this. And maybe somebody else has issues with spider bites, people with eczema, maybe somebody else has eczema. And it just kind of went from there. And so my need to help my family has really kind of expanded to helping my friends and helping people I don't even know. I mean, it's amazing. We have over 500 five-star reviews on Etsy. We have hundreds of reviews on my website as well and on Google. And people are just responding really well. So it's one thing for my mom to constantly tell me, oh my God, I love your cream. Oh my God, I love this. I love whatever you've made. I'm like, you're my mom. You're supposed to say that. She's like, no. Literally every time she comes to my house, she gets something new and she's just, the jar is empty. I'm like, you really used it. I'm like, she's like, yeah, it's good. I'm like, really, mommy? So it's been amazing that other people think the same thing. It's not just my mom patting me on the back and saying, now, now, dear sweetie, you did a good job.
It's good to know that. Yeah. And, you know, when your friends start buying it, you know, you're onto something. Yeah. Like when they come out the pocket and it's not just, you know, and that's one of the things, because at first they're not going to all be on board, but you know you're onto something when your friends are like, yo, let me get some of that, like, and your family too. So I love that you're getting that validation on both ends and you're seeing that it's consistent. Yes. So why don't you speak to us about, you know, being a mom, being an entrepreneur and a wife, because, you know, a lot of people are just trying to keep the business going, or just trying to keep the marriage going, or the relationship, or the kids. And to add entrepreneurship, it's overwhelming for people. Like, I'm 100% nine to nine, or I never stop, an entrepreneur. So to add anything else to that would be, I mean, I could do it, but it's like, oh my God, how can I do it? So you seem to do it with ease. Why don't you share with people how you do that, how you handle it?
You know, I get this question a lot from a lot of different people. Excuse me.
Getting over a cold. It's allergies, guys. We have the Santa Anas around here. Literally. The Santa Anas have been crazy.
Literally. And so I've been doing this for a long time. And I honestly just saw a quote on Instagram. I was like, oh my God, it's my life. I sent it to my husband. But you're either a boss babe doing it by yourself because you have the ability to just focus and go all the way in, or you have a ridiculous, amazing, supportive partner to be able to go all the way in. And I have a ridiculously amazing supportive partner. And I'm so grateful because a lot of my friends who have watched me over the years, I've had businesses since I can remember. I've always done something on the side, knowing that when I was a single mom, I always had a corporate job. I always made my own money. I bought my first house when I was 24 years old with three kids. Wow. So, you know, I've always been that pursuer of excellence as best as I could. So whether it was me pursuing my acting career, or I started DJing, or, you know, I was doing, you know, Scentsy products, or whatever it was that I was trying to push, I've always had my community around me like, what you doing now? Even when I started a more pro, they were like, what product are you pushing now? I'm like, sis, this is me. They didn't know it was just, right. They didn't know it was something that like I created because it seemed so different. And I'm like, you guys are getting to know me. You know, because I've always been the face for something, but I'm like, this is the real me. And like, I'm finally able to take off whatever masks I had, what a church hats I had on, and, you know, corporate hats I had on, that I was trying to be somebody else's something that whatever brought an income into my home. This business has never been about bringing income into my home. It's been about giving love. It's been about helping other people. It's been about the journey that I've been on. And if you happen to enjoy it, great. It's like my album I released last year. There are songs that I wrote that were inspired by love, that, you know, my relationship. And I'm like, if you happen to listen to it and like it, great. But I wrote the songs for me. So, you know, for me, it's just, it's about sharing that love. Money comes and that's great. But it's not about the money. It really truly is about spreading self-love, that journey, that goodness that so many people are missing. I'm actually in the process of writing my fourth book. It's called My Journey to Happy, because this question comes up a lot. How do you do it all? It's been a journey. It's not been a destination by any means. It's been one process after another process, one failure after another failure, and finding the joy and the enthusiasm to keep going. And so how do I do it all? I have four amazing kids who are all leaders, and I'm grateful that I've birthed all these little leaders because they're all pushy and bossy and tell me what to do. But I know they're cultivating their greatness, and they have a mom who understands that. So I was the leader in my family and I was the youngest. So I'm pushy and bossy, and I was working all that stuff out, and they were just, you know, suppressive because they were like, you know, you don't need to act like this. My family's from the South. You need to calm down. You need to be in this box. You need to quiet. And I've always been told what to do versus let me express who I am. So one of my very best friends, he says, your kids are so lucky that you just let them express themselves. And yeah, they're Blackish, you know, they go through that whole thing because they live in Orange County, you know, they come from a space of privilege, you know, they're just as Black as I am. And they grew up in an environment where they went to church, for example, with CEOs and executives and millionaires and billionaires, and everybody who served them was white and everybody in leadership was Black. They grew up with Barack Obama being president. Like, they have a different mentality. Blackness is gold. It's not to be suppressed. It's not something negative. It's like, oh yes, I get to be Black. We have Beyonce. Like, their mentality is different. So as a result, you know, being around all these kids who lift me up, you know, they don't want to help mommy in her business. However, they do support me in that I have teenagers. They help me with my 7-year-old and making sure that she's taken care of. So we all work together. My husband works full-time and then works with me full-time. And so it just doesn't stop. My mother helps so much. She comes and does my pop-up shops with me. And so I have a village and I'm so grateful for my village. And I'm just here supporting them in their pursuit of their own greatness. And they're in turn feeding me as well. So that push and pull becomes very important. I'm not here to stop anyone in my family from doing anything, but if anything, I'm pulling out of them their greatness that they didn't even know exists. For example, my mom's very quiet. She's very meek. She's very humble. She's so sweet. She's the oldest daughter of 8 kids in her family. And she, you know, was always there to help everybody else. So she's very much a background type of woman. And I am a very foreground type of woman. And we're just coming from 2 different mentalities completely. But my mother is like the best support person. Like, she's the best mother for me, right? And everything that I do, she supports me 100%. She, you know, wrote a book and she was really shy about writing the book. And I was like, Mom, you got to write this book. I'm pumping her up. I'm her hype woman. And I was like, we got to put you on the front cover in a bikini because people need to see. It's called The New 60. And she's in the front cover in a bikini. My mom looks good. She is a boss, bad chick to the bone, right? But she's so shy. Like, she'll wear a bikini in public, no big deal. But she's shy. She doesn't want anybody to, like, you know.
Shy can be really, really attractive, though. It could come across very sexy.
Exactly. So she did it. Which she would, she regrets it. I'm like, don't regret it. You look good. So she's trying.
Why?
She gave me all the books. She's like, here, destroy these. I'm not destroying them. I'm selling them. Thank you. But she finally finished and she motivated me to write books after I motivated her. And so it was like, I realized she had that in her, but if I didn't push, she wouldn't have pulled that out. So I feel like that's my job. Like, most of my friends, when they're going through situations, they call me because they know Tahera's going to motivate you. Tahera's going to tell you the GD truth. You're never going to get a lie from me, ever, never. You're not going to get any, I'm not going to fluff you, but I am going to motivate you, whether that means I got to tear you down a little bit to raise you all the way up, but you're always going to hear the truth. And so I feel like that is what that energy brings, that push and pull that I have with my village that then fuels me. Because if I see my people winning, I'm going to win. That's just in me to do. It makes me more motivated to do more. So again, a long-winded way of saying that all things work together. And I believe that. Like, if I didn't believe in myself and I didn't believe in my family and believe in just the existence of my kids, I could have made a lot of decisions when I was younger. But I said, at 20 years old, I'm willing to have this first baby. At 23 years old, I'm willing to have these next 2 babies. I had twins. And I kept going from there, regardless of how much money I had, and regardless of how much support I didn't have at that time. I was willing to do the work because I made the decision to live that particular lifestyle at that time. So I've just always been in pursuit of my greatness, no matter what it took.
You know, by the way, on this show, there's no such thing as long-winded. We want all the tea.
Oh, good, because I'll give you all the details.
Yes, there's no such thing as long-winded. In fact, we want more. You'll get invited back. So we want to help entrepreneurs. And so all details are good details. And thank you for sharing that, because I love that you guys ping pong off each other and you have the benefit of having, it sounds like, although in your beginning of your life, you had a lot of despair and hardships and hurtful things happen. It sounds like the universe has now handed you a beautiful relationship with your mother. And I know that recently you were just seeing your father and you're making good, as good as that can be. Because I think, you know, a lot of us entrepreneurs have some things in common when it comes to our home life when we were younger.
Yeah.
you know, and we're not here to slander or slay any parents. I mean, listen, they're just a guy. I always say there's just a guy and a girl that had a baby, and the baby happened to be me. I mean, they're flawed. They're effed up. Yeah. They don't, they're trying to get it together. They have their selfish ways too. I mean, they have, so, you know, they're going to F us up, but not on purpose sometimes. And true, like, entrepreneurs and people with grit have gone through a lot in their childhood probably. And like, you remind me when the kids, like, you're walking home, you said, you know, you're nine or whatever, or fourth grade. I had a flashback because, you know, you're a true latchkey kid. My film company is called Latchkey Kid for a reason. I was a real latchkey kid, like keys around my neck or around my, and you get in there and you make dinner for your siblings and you got homework and you're turning the lights on when the street lights come on and parents are working two jobs each. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. And I think that's part of our entrepreneurial DNA, the things that happened when we were younger. We're like, oh no, we're not, we're going to fix this. We're going to do it this way. And if you take one link out of the chain, it might be different. Your situation, your story might be different. Not to say that we want you to be hurt and be nine and be taken advantage of. We don't. But you seem to be drawing from something that you did not get. And that's the miracle in it. Like, you're giving to people. You say your friends call you and you're the person when they need something. And you're putting in, you're pouring into this brand something that, you know, you didn't really get, you know, and you probably won't get this lifetime, right? But you're giving it out. So how is that possible? How are you giving out so much radiation of kindness and joy and amour propre, and you didn't get it?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing what you do when you have to, when you have to create a sense of calm and things being well when they're not. As a young mother, as a young single mother, I remember when I was, I had a lot of stories from my kids being young, or as I was dealing with my kid's father, you know, and the back and forth between him and I going to court constantly, and that back and forth of that, losing money, trying to make money, trying to put food on the table, cars getting repossessed, getting foreclosed on, all of the things that would happen in life. On top of the fact of me trying to get the kids to school and from school on time, get to and from work. I used to live in Lake Forest and work in LA and off of Culver, like in Culver City, every day back and forth. Like, there was a point in time I just didn't even see my kids because I was trying to pull them out, you know, and make this life for myself. And so I pulled
anybody that's not from the Southern California area, sorry to cut you off.
No.
That commute with rush hour, even if it's not rush hour, night or day, that commute is major. So shout out, like, each way without traffic.
And then be present at work, because I was in sales, corporate sales. So be present at work. I was number one in my office, and then be present with the kids when I was finally able to get home and get to them. So my kids were also in a latchkey situation in the beginning parts of their lives. But you know, you let my twins tell it. You know, I gave them the best. My kids are spoiled. Like, I remember when I went to church one time, there's this one lady, she's like, your kids are spoiled. I'm thinking, bitch, I'm a single mom. How the hell I'm spoiling kids? They ain't even got a daddy. Like, what do you mean I'm spoiling them? And then I started thinking, I was like, I wasn't spoiling them. I was overcompensating. I was overcompensating for the 50% that they weren't getting. And I didn't understand that. I'm 25, 26, 27 years old, just trying to function, right? And so, you know, you talk about this brand of mine, I was able to keep things afloat in my mind because my mom was like, you know, you don't have time to cry. You don't have time to be mad. You don't have time for any of that. You have these kids to raise. You got babies to feed. You got a job to do. And her instilling that grit in me, because she had that grit in her, helped, because there was time later for me to heal, which required me to shut it down and really go to that dark, dirty, ugly place that needed healing. And about 3 years ago, I always talk a shout out to my girl, Solani Thomas, who is an amazing Reiki master and healer. And she healed, she blessed my life when she told me she did Reiki, because I was able to finally heal. I went to church all this time, all these years. And we've talked a little bit about church hurt, girl. That's
all those building funds, all those building funds you done gave.
Let me tell you,
I need
whole other talk show.
On the building funds that I paid.
Literally, that's a whole other talk show. But having gone through all that manipulation and all of that pacification of my problems,
That's the right word.
Yes, I was finally able to heal from it. And because my kids were older and I was able to finally just settle and be like, damn, T, you've been through some shit. I don't talk about it. I don't brag about it. I don't mention it to people. If I have a one-on-one, I don't mind giving a person a story. But it wasn't until I released my first book where I put all my business in the street. Can't nobody write a book about me that I ain't already done written. Whatever stories, whatever secrets you think you're going to tell, sis, I'm going to tell them first because this is who I am.
And by the way, thanks for even caring about my secrets.
Right? Literally.
I don't believe in that. I don't believe in like there's in the streets. Like, I think that you are an entrepreneur and you have a path. So, you know, I get what you mean, but it's like anyone coming for you really isn't a true business person. They're just a gossip. You know,
that was part of my fear, right? Growing up in the church, there was a lot of gossip, there was a lot of shaming, and I that mentality was instilled in me. And I was meant to feel like I should be ashamed of all of my issues that I experienced. And then when my children started experiencing issues while in the church, I was like, let me get out of this ridiculously toxic space that I thought God was in, just to realize God was within me. I'm like, oh, you mean I don't need these people? I don't need to keep funding this, like you said, this building in order to make up for my the transgressions of my sins? Girl.
If there's a such thing, by the way, I believe it's a journey. But if it's a, because, you know, any path without your kids it's a sin not to have your kids, I think. So any path without them is a sin.
And it was all a learning process. And I think that this was the journey that I was on is like, you know, you're told a lot of things when you're young, especially remember I was of the mentality from 3 years old, you're someone's property. You're there to satisfy. That's your only job. And that's all I mentally was prepared to do. So if somebody tells you something that's of an authority, I'm going to listen because that's how I was cultivated mentally as a child. So as I grew up and started realizing I needed to do more in order to just maintain my peace, maintain my happiness, find out what makes me happy. I had no idea. That's how I ultimately became the person that I am, especially in business. Because now I literally, I'm not here to please people. I'm here to put out products that I love, that if you happen to love them, great. If you don't, okay. And I don't take offense to that. It's not a negative thing. It's like, it's all love. It's all good. And it's been an amazing journey.
What's your love with France? And why did you name it Amour Propre?
I don't know if you could see in the back. That is a picture of the Eiffel Tower back in 1863. Right above my bed. I've always had an obsession with France and with French everything. I do not speak the language. All I got is Je suis l'enjeune fille from Muffy when I was 6 years old. I used to watch the commercials. I was like, oh, Je suis l'enjeune fille. And voulez-vous coucher avec moi? That's all I got. That's all I got.
Well, I'll teach you. Bonjour. Comment ça va?
That's all I got. But I love the language. I love the culture. I love the food. Give me a French baguette. That's how I got my hips so wide. I think it's one of those things where it's like the curiosity of a city of love, right? So it's all about love, amour. Amour is just, it's everywhere. And that's amore, that's love, that's life. It's the cultivation of that culture, the people, the food, the essence that we all need to breathe in. And it's so funny because you hear, I've never been to France and I want to go there one day. Ella, my youngest, she's like, mommy, I'm going to go with you too. We're going to France. And everywhere this little girl has prophesied, I say it like that because she says things and then they happen. But everywhere this little girl has prophesied, we are going to go, we've gone.
Great.
And so since she wants to go, we're going to make it happen. But I want it to be about that love and I want it to be about that sense of self. And my husband, I told my husband when I wanted to create a business in the middle of a pandemic, and he was like, I mean, okay. He said, well, I said, I wanted to call it self-love. He's like, I was like, what do you think about that? He was like, let me get back to you. I was like, what? You don't like call it just self-love? It's plain. It's simple. I want it elegant. My packaging's simple. He was like, I'll get back to you. So literally 3 hours later, he sent me a more probe. And I was like, I love it. I just love the way it looked visually. I love the meaning of what amour propre meant. You know, because like you said, it looks like amour propre, but it's French. So it's, you know, it's got that propre. Whole like that Francois that at the end, it looks different than it sounds. So it's an education piece. I love educating people on different things that I learn And so I literally have learned chemistry over the last couple of years. And I failed chemistry in high school, which is really funny to me.
Isn't that funny?
It's really amazing.
And you're
amazing.
Good at math now, because when it's your coin, you get the math right.
Exactly. And that's the whole point, is it's been 1 month before the business was to start and the pandemic had happened. I was DJing. I had a really amazing DJ business. I had amazing clients. I was DJing every single week, making lots of money DJing. And right. The life of the party was awesome. And then suddenly, boop, you're done. Sorry, you can't DJ. I was volunteering. I couldn't go into homeless shelters anymore because they were closed. Boop, you can't do that anymore. And I was like, what do I do? And so I told my husband, you know, I used to sing. I was an actor. I had gained a bunch of weight. Like, life was just I was in a funky little place. And I was like, baby, I think I peaked. I was like, I've done all this stuff. I've been on television. I've had all these experiences. And now I'm shut down. I was like, I've peaked. There's nothing else for me. I don't even know what else to do. He's like, shut the fuck up. I love my husband because he'll like sit me down and be like that. He's like, shut the fuck
up. I like that he gets back to you, the way. And it's an example. Well, it's an example of like, hold on, let me get back to you. It's almost like you got the bowl and you put the cake mix in and you added some egg. And you're like, oh, this ain't it. He like, hold on, I'll get back to you. And he pours the milk in and he makes it creamy and he makes it good. That's a bad example, but he came back. You told him what you wanted. He finished it off. He gave you a name. And who doesn't need a partner like that? I mean,
exactly.
How did you find him for the single entrepreneur gals out there, in case they're feeling disgusted in the dating scene if they're on Bumble? Shout out to Bumble. I'm just kidding. Bumble works for some people and not for others. Shout out to the dating. Girl. I shouldn't have said their name. I don't want to get a look.
You're so fine. And I have been there, done that. And I understand that part too. And, you know, to be quite frank, my husband found me. And I think that that has been the saving grace of our relationship. Wow. My husband loves me more than I could ever fathom or understand. He had been admiring me from afar. We went to high school together and we were in orchestra and he was a trumpet player and I was the girl who played cymbals because I wanted an A period and I happened to be there because I couldn't play an instrument. They gave me a pair of cymbals and said, wait till we tell you to bang this and then bang it. I was like, okay. So I had that.
That was the only thing you would be banging in class, but we don't know.
In the portable. No. And so he would see me at our B period because I had an after school period because I was in theater arts and I was a singer and a dancer and an actor. And we had this play. We were just musical. So he was the musical part. And then I was an actor and a dancer and singer in that part. He was watching me do what I do. And then we were all on the bus going down the hill to come home from our school. Oh, we went to Skyline High School in Oakland. And he just grabbed my hand one day. He was like, you look like you need some help. And I was just like, excuse me? I'm 15. He's almost 16. He was just so bold about it. He's like one of like 13 white people at my school. And he decided he wanted to come holler at a sister. I was like, yo, you got some balls. I don't even know who you are. My husband's very of the Caucasian persuasion. He's very European. God bless him. European American. Thank you. Some people really think he's from, I was like, my husband's Irish. Like, is he from Ireland? I'm like, somebody was from Ireland, but he was born in Oakland. But anyhow.
You keep saying he's European when I met you. And I'm like, oh, what part of Europe? But you're
European American. Because they tell us African Americans. I ain't never been to Africa. I'm just playing the game.
Right. Oh, well, I don't consider myself African American, though, because I'm African. But right. We're both black. But we digress. Okay, good. So you guys, hey, listen, you know, we're of demographics. We take charts and numbers and we know what serves people. So that's why we're bringing up the colors and things. But it's good to talk about that you guys are a biracial couple and you were in Oakland at that time and now you're in Orange County because you know what? These things matter. I just got a message from someone today. And I told her about my displeasure with some of the things she was posting and supporting. And we had a very open heart moment, you know? And so these things play into business, guys, especially now more than ever. And I don't think that it's bad to touch on it, even though this isn't a political show and being Black isn't political. It's been made to be that way. It's good to talk about the push and pull in your dynamics. How has being a biracial couple in Orange County been for you and launching your brand?
Yeah, I mean, it really speaks to, just to touch upon that and answer your question, how we met. You know, we were in a mostly Black school. He was a minority student as one of the few white students in that school. And he happened to pick up on me. And I remember when my dad, I was like, yeah, this guy, he wants to date me. He's like, oh, you can't date a white boy. And I was like, really? So I was like, I told him I couldn't date him. And he was really sad about that.
But it made your stock go up because you were harder to get.
Exactly. And this guy was really interested in me. And I was just like, I didn't get it because I was looking for the roughnecks. I was looking for the thugs. I was looking for the, and I had babies with that type of dude. And I was just like, this isn't working. And then I talk about it in my book. Everything shifted when I started to see him as the love that he was trying to give. Like a lot of times we talked about women in general trying to pursue, you know, relationships. Oftentimes we want to pursue things that we want, we think we want. But there are a lot of men who want us that can offer things we need. And we don't see that because we're so focused on what I want. He got to be 6'4". He got to be dark skinned. He got to be bald head. He got all these superficial things that really don't matter that ultimately end up being our downfall and ultimately potentially make us lose our opportunity to be with somebody who really can cultivate the beautiful queen inside of you that you've always wanted to be, but that requires a little bit of work. So to summarize this, my husband and I work really well together. Like we're ridiculously compatible in a lot of ways. He's very quiet. I talk a lot. He's a vegan. I like meat. He listens to rock and roll. I love a good bowl of gumbo. What I'm saying is we're so bipolarly different that we bring two different things to the table. That table is vast. It's full. It's robust. There's so much there that we could just pick from what we want and leave everything else there. It's not bad. It's just there. You know what I'm saying? So
love
from
that.
His cultural perspective, like I was just on the O Network on a Christmas holiday show, Oprah's Holiday Food Fight. And, you know, I'm competing with these other chefs. They're doing their thing. God bless you. My family's, you know, from Louisiana, from New Orleans. And I have that in me, that the ability to cook that type of food. But the food that I made was like a mesh of high quality food, like caviar and crab and shrimp with some very simple, you know, things like potatoes and eggs that I would mix together. And the judges were like, oh, you're doing too much. I'm like, no, I'm doing me, first of all, which is a mesh of all the cultures that I come from because my family is blended and biracial. But also, I don't want my food just heavy and fattening and bland and not healthy. And I want to cultivate something that is great. And so my relationship is as a result of that, because he'll be the first one to stop me and tell me, no, you can't do that. It's not okay. I know he has my best interest at heart. That man is on my team. Anytime we have a disagreement, set up your argument. First of all, we don't argue about nothing. So I don't argue with nobody about nothing, because if I don't argue with my husband, whom I sleep with every night, I ain't arguing with you. And so I think that mentality with anything, he's on my team. I would never hurt the person on my team who's literally making this whole engine run. So how do I do what I do? I got a dude on my team that is a bomb quarterback. I'm a bomb running back slash coach slash lady passing out the Gatorade, clean it up, whatever. We all got our parts, right? And so I think all those parts help make that relationship work, which ultimately makes everything else work. And so being from a blended biracial family, there's a lot of respect at the foundation of everything that we do. If we don't have the respect down here at the bottom layer, how do you build on that? How? There's no way. I got to respect my parents-in-law, you know, their way of doing things. He has to respect my mother and father, who are very different. Like we come from just very different backgrounds. So our child together, our daughter Ella, who's 7, oh my gosh, she's living such a different life than her older siblings, who, you know, had to struggle through a lot of different things. And so we have family meetings all the time. And I ask my girlfriends who, you know, they're fighting with their spouses or their kids are having problems. Like, when was the last time you had a family meeting? Well, never. How do you have a family you don't meet? Like, this is literally the candle that keeps us burning, is sitting down, talking to one another, listening to one another, working out our issues. When you have an issue at a Fortune 500 company, don't they meet to work out the issue so that that thing functions once again? You can't function without talking it, without receiving information. Everybody in my house is a leader. Everybody in my house has a voice, has something to say, has feelings about something. Get it out. Because if you don't get it out through me, it's going to come out in some type of other way in the street. I don't want the police, I don't have to worry about the police with you. I don't want you worrying about, you know, you having low self-esteem or walking around incompetent or not feeling like you're valued. You get that from home. And so we just had a family meeting the other day. My son had a lot to say, and his experience has been very different than my daughter's. There's a lot that he blames me for. I received that. I don't be like, well, you don't understand my struggle. No, no, no. I receive how you experience life. Even if I happen to disagree or didn't feel that way, that's your experience and it's valuable. And just that diffused so much drama, you know? So this is what it takes. This is the work that it takes to make a family work, but a blended biracial family, it's even more, you know, because we have just so many other layers on top of that. So it's helped in business because my husband just brings a whole nother perspective. And I would have never thought about it that way. And a lot of times he's like, I would have never thought about it that way either. Let's put it all on the table and just pick and choose what we want and make it work.
Beautiful, 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 and insightful, and I think, quite frankly, refreshing. And so someone can take something from all of that, even if they're not in a biracial blended family. Get you someone that's on your team. May it be friends, may it be family, may it be a husband, may it be a dog, a cat, whatever. Get somebody on your team.
Yes.
And until you can, be by yourself and figure it out. Be your vibe attracts your tribe.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to come back. We're running out of time.
No!
Happy Cyber Monday. You guys find Amor
Prope.
I say like it wrong. Amor Prope.
Yes, like a prop, but
find Tahara and her beautiful products, and there's so many things to choose from. Thank you for being here. Come back soon. What will you start today? I will see you guys soon. Mwah. Cheers.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.